This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Six in the evening with Lynn Iman and Kelvin. And as promised, our first story is all about the appreciation of Malaysian food on the international stage. Now, if you guys remember, there was a little series released by Netflix last April called Street Food Asia, and it featured street food from various countries in our region. And, well, there was one notable exception, or at least so Malaysians might argue, because we were not in it.
Yeah, and when we found out that Singapore, Thailand and Indonesia were in the show and Malaysia wasn't, there was just outrage on the internet. And of course, many pointed out that Malaysia's food is, well, obviously better than Singapore's.
Of course.
And then there was also a general sense that our food was just not getting enough recognition and appreciation internationally.
So, in light of that, BFM is running a campaign right now in collaboration with Fisherman Integrated to get Malaysian food on Netflix's Street Food Asia and to get the international recognition that our food deserves. So, we're encouraging Malaysians to bersatu for makan and sign our petition. If there is enough support, we'll release a 30-minute episode on the 16th of September that is worthy of being on the Street Food series itself.
So, we have launched this petition, like we said, and since being launched, it already has more than 600 signatures. You can find the petition on the website bersatuformakan.my. And I guess the main question here is, I guess it's always this thing, right? Malaysians always feel that we have the best food. We always go on and on and on about it. And it's not so much that we need other people to think that we have the best food. It's more like it should be a big part of our tourism push. Yeah. It should be a big part of how we market our country. And when we look at how it's being marketed, right? Really what this is evidence of is purely the fact that Singapore has won a marketing war that we didn't even know we were part of, because they just like went in and did it. But they have always done a really tremendous job of actually pushing this narrative of claiming dishes, right? Claiming things as being theirs. And that has led to this reputation that they have.
And I think we're just tired of missing out on opportunities like this, right? Where there is one that is so obvious to us that would seem like the perfect opportunity to market our food, to be able to put ourselves out there on the international stage. And we do have so much to offer. And you really do wonder, well, you know, for what logical reason were we left out?
But I mean, if you think about it, the food in our region is almost similar. Like in different countries, it's the same thing, but like different, just like a tiny bit differences. So what we need to think about is what makes our food special and stand out above Singapore and Indonesia and other countries. That's what we need to capitalize on. That's what we need to promote.
We would like to hear from you. I mean, what do you think that we're missing the boat on this? Do you think that we haven't done enough to promote our food? And by the way, if you do, there is a petition that you can sign. Not so much to tell our government to push for it, but just so that we can tell Netflix, like, yo, you missed out. Again, you can find that on bersatuformakan.my. And in the meantime, you can also tell us, what should we be doing different in order to get that recognition or in order to market our food that much better? You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this to speak with Dr. Gek Cheng Koo, who is a food author and associate professor at the School of Media, Languages and Culture at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Keep it here for that. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:12 in the evening with Lynn Iman and Kelvin, and we're talking today about a perennial evergreen topic, which is the issue of Malaysian food and whether or not we are getting enough recognition for it, but also whether or not we are sufficiently marketing it. Are we pushing it out enough to win this, I keep saying war, but actually it's not a war. Just to get that recognition,
it's
right?
It's a food fight.
It's a, oh, nice one. A little bit of that. So we're joined now by Dr. Gek Cheng Koo, food author and associate professor at the School of Media, Languages and Cultures at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Gek, it's good to have you with us. First of all, I guess, how would you describe Malaysian food?
Malaysian food, I guess, is Malaysia truly Asia in the sense that it reflects our multi-ethnic diversity. So when you try to sell Malaysian food, for example, a friend of mine has a restaurant in Germany in a small town, and she said it took her 8 years to try to educate her clientele about what Malaysian food is, because at first they thought, well, this is like Indian food, or, you know, is this Chinese food, and why are you selling everything under the sun? So really, we reflect that because of our multi-ethnic diversity and our history. It is both a good thing and a bad thing, in the sense that it makes us sometimes quite difficult to market. But at the same time, I think it's also our strength because we have such a diversity, and we're so accustomed to having this diversity of different types of cooking.
Is there a particular dish that you feel reflects that mix of diversity and multi-ethnicity in our cuisine?
I think I would pick the pasam bor. I think that's an interesting example. In my book, when I talk about rojak, there's also Indian rojak. And if you come from Penang, Indian rojak there is known as pasam bor. And it's unusual because when I was interviewing the Indian rojak or mamak rojak seller, he said that Indian nationals don't like it because it's too sweet and it's not what you would find in India, right? Because it's made up of fritters, prawn fritters, tofu. Some of these ingredients are much more Chinese. Tauge, bean sprouts, and sengkuang or bangkuang or hikama or yam bean and cucumber. So these are kinds of things that you would not find in one dish. And then the sauce is made up of sweet potato with a bit of tamarind, and then there's peanuts in it. You know? So it's completely different from what you can find elsewhere. And I guess there's chilies and also a bit of black soy sauce. So you can see these ingredients are very mixed. You have kind of Chinese influences and then local influences, and then it kind of caters to our sweet taste. Because if you were to ask foreigners how they would describe Malaysian food, they would say too oily and sweet, which is quite interesting.
Does Malaysian food have an identity or a reputation out there in the rest of the world? I mean, what are we most known for?
I guess it's mostly street food. So you find Malaysian restaurants, particularly in North America and in Australia, mostly run by Chinese Malaysians. And if you look at the usual dishes that you can find, that there would always be nasi goreng, maybe nasi lemak, char kway teow, roti canai, rendang, satay. You know, these are kinds of the Malaysian staples that you can find. In London, it seems quite different because I think in London, you might have, I think you have more Malay migrants and students and workers there. So you have very nice Malay restaurants from what I can glean. Just if you kind of look at the Google map, you'll see quite a few there that does more of these sort of nasi campur, places that have traditional Malay curries and dishes that I think are quite hard to make and labor-intensive that you don't find so much in these North American or Australian, Chinese, Malaysian restaurants.
Fair enough. I mean, but when we're looking at things like, you know, our true staples, your nasi lemak, your kway teow, your satay, how did these end up emerging as the dishes that we now commonly associate as, you know, classically local Malaysian food?
I think it's just from a lot of advertising. Of course, the food is already good, and I'm, of course, very biased. The char kway teow also has gained quite a reputation, particularly with digital media. Now, a lot of people blog about it, and people who travel for food, it's easy for them to find all these food blogs. Malaysia and Singapore have lots of food blogs, and now you also have TripAdvisor. So it's easy to find these places and to learn what kinds of dishes you must eat when you go overseas. With some of these sort of Penang dishes, like the Penang Char Kway Teow, for example, because the Penang state government has put a lot of effort into trying to put Georgetown on the tourism map, they also sponsor journalists and writers, food travel writers, to come to stay in Georgetown and then to write about the food. So you get that every now and then, actually a few times a year, you probably have these articles come out. So I think that's one way to expose our food to the world, and that's how a lot of these dishes have made it more popular overseas.
So it pains us to say, but, you know, we do get overlooked as a food destination quite a bit. Why do you think we're not as well known?
We're not as well known because we haven't put as much effort into it. I think the Thai government has been the most successful. They had a global Thai campaign for many years that was introduced in 2002, and I think has gone on for much longer than the Malaysia Kitchen campaign. Malaysia Kitchen campaign only lasted for 5 years, from 2010 to 2015, and Martrade, they're the ones who promoted Malaysian food overseas. So I think the Thai campaign has been much more successful because they are more extensive. If you just focus on Thai restaurants in the U.S. alone, in 1990, they had 500 restaurants. By 2018, they had over 5,000 restaurants, Thai restaurants in the U.S. So what they do is they give incentives for people to start up Thai restaurants and to promote Thai food overseas. And I think the Malaysian government doesn't do enough of that. We have done things like get a chef to be the food ambassador for Malaysia, whether in London or, you know, elsewhere. And then we also have we also work with American chefs to promote Malaysian food. And I think the Malaysian government also poured some money into the MasterChef, I think the Australian one. So you do that, but I think you need to not just have these sort of one event things. I think you need to work from the bottom up as well. If you look at the Korean example, the Korean government has also poured a lot of money into promoting Hanshik or Korean food overseas. They use their pop stars, they use celebrity chefs, they tie in with a lot of stuff. But the problem also has been, I feel, that they are not working so much with the Korean migrants who are already overseas. So I think the Malaysian government has to work with the existing Malaysian restaurants to promote much more Malaysian food. A few years ago, Dr. Muhammad Khairi Jalil suggested already that the government has to have a more integrated strategy, you know, to include all the different ministries and departments. So, you know, you'll be talking about the airlines, right? Kind of what the Penang state government is doing, working with the airlines to get people to come, but also to make sure that you transport your food. You have to work with the agricultural industry to make sure that your food quality lives up to international standards. So it's a lot of these things to think about. You know, you can't just have one agency or one ministry doing all the work. It has to be a concerted and integrated strategy.
There was a survey recently by YouGov which showed that we Malaysians are fans of our local cuisine, but only 48% of non-Malaysians who have tried our food like it. Does this mean that our food isn't as tasty as we think it is? I mean, are we just being short sendiri?
Well, I looked at the survey, and there were very interesting questions, because there was a question there about how many percentage of people who haven't tried it before like it. or how many, and then again, you know, how many people have not tried this before. So I assume that they let people taste the food, and then they ask them, are you familiar with this food, or you haven't had it before, and, you know, what do you think of it? Do you like it? You know, so I think that's interesting, because what it really tells us is that taste is very subjective and very cultural. Why do Italians largely don't like our food? I think you have to look at the ingredients and the taste palette. Like, they don't eat much spicy food compared to us, and the way they cook the food is different. I think it's very subjective, and I think that people are not used to our food. I mean, let's say if we just compare it to Thailand and Vietnam, because those are the two other countries whose food have been, you know, in the region that have been much more popular than ours. And you can see how Vietnamese food could be trendy because it's lighter for people who are very conscious of, you know, fat and watching their carbs and weight and stuff. So Vietnamese food would be easier to sell. So, yeah, our food is very hearty. And I'm thinking about the curries and stuff like that. So I think that's what makes it harder to sell. But also because I think, you know, if you don't know, if you're not familiar with the food, it's hard to like it or love it. It just needs to get more exposure. So most of the people who like our food are Asians, because and a lot of it sort of Southeast Asian. So again, you can see that we have more in common with them in terms of the kinds of ingredients we use, etc., and maybe the cooking styles as well. So it's no surprise then.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Which Malaysian street food would you actually want to put a spotlight on?
So my food choice for that street food would be the nasi campur, because it's just, you know, it's a buffet and it's mostly family run. And I'm not talking about the ones inside an actual restaurant. I'm talking about the ones that are run by women in the mornings. You see them just having a stall, opens for like 2-3 hours, and then it's done. Right? 'Cause these are women who probably just do this on the side to try to earn something. You know, there's something kind of transient about it, but it's also home-cooked food, and people buy that. And this is also belief that because it's home-cooked food, you would cook the best kind of food for your family. So therefore, the quality and the nutrition and stuff would be there, rather than the kind of street food, fast food that we understand, like, you know, like your goreng pisang or goreng this and that. Because you get this hearty meal of rice. You really get a balanced meal. You know, you get your salad, you get your fried fish, your proteins and your carbs all together in one place. And I think that's just unbeatable. Like, I can never go to an Italian restaurant and get all those three things on one plate for the price that I can get at a nasi campur or economy rice place. The nasi campur is what I go for.
Excellent choice, Gek. Thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Gek Cheng Koo, food author and associate professor at the School of Media, Languages and Cultures at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And look, I know that we talk about this a lot, and we have in the past. You know, it's we're Malaysians, who can't stop talking or thinking about food. But now it's also part of a shameless plug, because we're working with Fisherman Integrated to get Malaysian food on Netflix's Street Food Asia. So if you want to Bersatu for Makan, then sign our petition. You can find that on bersatuformakan.my.
And with enough support, we'll be releasing a 30-minute episode on the 16th of September. They'll be giving Street Food Asia a run for its money, and there's also a trailer for the campaign.
Malaysian food, our glorious, tak pernah kecoh food. Have you ever seen a country so kaya? Don't you just want to pow kau liao everything? So many varieties, it just makes anyone want to say, I am in love with you, Malaysia. Except for Netflix. No representation, no wonder people think rendang kena crispy. Lemak, Netflix. Lemak. So, for their convenience, we're going to launch our own Buatan Malaysia street food video on the 16th of September 2019 to be officially added under Netflix. So, Malaysians, let's stand together and bersatu for makan. Sign this petition, share, and tag Netflix, okay?
So again, the full trailer and the petition is at bersatuformakan.my. So over 700 people have signed so far, and we highly encourage you to sign it.
Yes, join us in bersatuing for makan. And we've also been asking you for your thoughts in the meantime about perhaps why it is that we were skipped over in the first place. Also, you know what? Whether we even need that international recognition, because maybe sometimes a secret well kept.
We know it's great.
Yeah.
Maybe that's enough.
Maybe. But also, what is it that perhaps we haven't been doing enough of? So Sui Lim says, to most Western travelers, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, and Vietnam are just a lot more familiar names. And this probably explains why Netflix left out Malaysia.
I've always had that sort of discussion with people. And the first time I ever had to was asked the question as a student, how would you place Malaysia on the world map? And they said, and I said, well, we're in between Singapore and Thailand. But the guy actually lectured me and said, well, no, that's not what you'd say. You'd say that we have Nasi Lemak and that we have the KLCC. So, you know, if that is the answer, I think that's actually a preferable answer that we should go for.
It's a question of soft power, isn't it? Singapore is a more recognizable name than Malaysia, I guess.
Yeah, we can change that. send us your thoughts. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:40 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we've been talking about what else do we ever talk about Malaysian food. And that is because some of us... maybe even some of us here at BFM are still a little bit hurt over our exclusion from Netflix's Street Food Asia series, because how can you title a show Street Food Asia and then not have us?
Yeah, of all things, we were left out. You had Singapore. I think you also had Philippines and also Vietnam on that list. And it just still leaves a very bitter and sour note in my mouth.
So with that in mind, we have, again, a shameless plug, launched a little campaign and we played, I think, a trailer of it earlier. We're working, of course, with our friends over at Fisherman Integrated. And basically, you can go sign our petition on bersatuformakan.my. But in the meantime, we've also been asking you for your thoughts on what the gap is here. You know, is it a lack of recognition? Is it a lack of marketing? What is going on? And we have this message here from John.
It's simple, really. The kiasu over-advertising and exposure of our younger sibling down south gets the attention of Western media.
Well, I wonder if that's to do, like, you know, with the scarcity that they have, right? They don't have much to work with. We have plenty to work with. We have natural resources. So they're going to focus on what they can sell. And if culture is something that people are wanting, and if that's what they can hone in on, they're going to try to win that game as much as they can.
Yeah, but it's also the fact that they have a focus.
Yes,
you know,
that's true.
And I think that's pretty crucial here. We have a tweet from Seed who says, we need to do a better job at promoting Malaysia in general. As a destination, we have far superior ingredients, but not the right chefs when it comes to cooking up the publicity that we deserve. So another message there about publicity. And next up, this from Daniel.
We should look also into moving away from the typical nasi lemak, the char kway teow, the roti canai narrative, and look at the regional dishes that make Malaysia unique. The Minang in influenced fiery masak lemak cili api of Negeri Sembilan, the most colourful of Malay kuih in Kelantan, and the Anglo-inspired laksa Johor, which uses spaghetti. There's so many rich stories to tell when it comes to food.
And that's a good point, because we have so much diverse food to offer in our country that we always sort of highlight nasi lemak, this is Malaysia, whereas in fact, there is so much food in different states with their own unique characteristics that we can promote as truly uniquely Malaysian.
Yeah, that, and also this requires, I think, some promotion internally as well, because I'm not sure that all of us have an equal amount of understanding of regional foods, of state foods, you know. So I think first things first, we need to know our stuff, and then after that we can start kind of pushing it out. Alvin says, maybe we need to think of creative names since we have so many different kinds of nasi, you know, lemak, campur, tumpang, and laksa. To foreigners, they might get confused. We don't see pasta being called pasta ravioli or pasta bolognese.
Well, on that note, I don't think it's always necessary to dumb it down like that, right? You know, we learn so many varieties of Italian foods that why, you know, we don't, they don't dumb it down for us. So I don't think it's necessary for us to stoop to that level.
Instead, we just need to highlight. Yes. I would go back, I think,
like
to
key focuses of food we want to push out. Right?
Yeah, to Daniel's point about highlighting the specific things that make us special. We also have this from Rebecca, who says, I used to watch a certain MasterChef UK judges TV show about Malaysia. When he commented about the not crispy chicken rendang, I became skeptical on his understanding of Malaysia food, even after hosting so many episodes about his adventure here in Malaysia. Or perhaps he's merely commenting or reacting based on the script.
And Rebecca also says, I retweeted and tagged Netflix, by the way. So if you want to do that, you can find that on our Twitter at BFM Radio.
Oh, what is this new shamelessness that we're working with? I love it.
Well, my skin is thin, so wait, is it? No, the other way. My skin is thick. I don't care now.
Very much the other way around. And then we also have this message here from Faisal.
By the way, I bought that street food series on Netflix. It was done by a Singaporean production company.
Scandalous. Mm.
I think their official reply was they covered Singapore, which is the same. And he says, by the way, it's hard to find that Bersatu for Makan URL via Google. And it also shares the same first word as a political party.
That is fair enough, but I believe if we say it often enough and
people,
you know,
start searching for it often enough, we'll get there. We'll beat the SEO game.
So bersatupamakan.my while we're at it. And lastly, we have a message here from Nadine Shamsul saying, I think we're gradually losing our traditional foods and recipes. As a Malay, I'm seeing a lot of the traditional recipes being bastardized or made with subpar ingredients, doused with sugar. I'm unable to get good quality Malay food out. Unless vendors take pride and care when making the food they serve, I don't think Malay foods will be up there with cuisines from the region.
Sometimes I think about that and I wonder if that's how, you know, food will change, right? You know, similar to how many parts of our culture have been moving in a direction that's changing, that is with our languages, that with some of our cultural practices. So I'm not necessarily sure if it's a bad thing, but you are right, right? There is a sense of loss there whenever we do lose different methods of cooking. We lose the old ingredients we used to cook some of the traditional meals with.
You know what? My dad always complains about how people make sambal nowadays, the one who sells by the road. And apparently, they just always take shortcuts to making the sambal. And I don't know if that's related to, I don't know, the increasing price of the ingredients. Maybe that's related to how things are changing now.
I think that's related to the cost of time, quite frankly. I think that people just want to be... Why, you know, do a mortar and pestle when you can use a food processor?
Yeah.
So I think it's that kind of thing where you just need to get it out faster, which might be affecting these things. So yeah, talk to us. What are your views on Malaysian food, its standard, its recognition internationally? While you're at it, if you want to force Netflix's hand, as we're trying to, you can go to bersatupamakan.my, sign our petition. You are listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.